I'm not going to teach your boyfriend how to dance with you. My name is Take Walker, and I love music. Welcome back, everyone. My name is Take Walker. This is episode 18 of I Love Music. Rather than go on to my next beef with, I'm going to complain for a little bit. I am officially a year behind. I have been listening to stuff and writing the reviews immediately, but as to when I get to those reviews, I'm fairly certain I'm still catching up with, like, October of 2009. I've got some things out of place, but yeah, October, maybe December of 2009. Certainly since February of 2010, and it is now February 2011, so yeah, I'm way behind. Not that that really is different than anything, it's just, hey, now I can say it's a year. Other than that, there's gonna be some changes around here. I don't know how many of you have noticed, but since about, episode 4, I've always tried to match the background music to what it is I'm talking about. So, you know, if I'm talking about a punk band, it's gonna be punk music. If I'm talking about some AOR new metal, it's gonna be that style. But I've recently, as of the last episode, realized that kind of sucks. It sucks for me because it takes me forever to edit these. I have to go through my thousands of songs that I have available, find ones that are suitable. If they've got lyrics, try and see if I can't find a karaoke version online somewhere. Honestly, having 30-second clips of songs constantly changing, it makes it kind of schizophrenic. So I'm going to completely ignore what genre I'm talking about. I'm going to go back to what I started with, which is just using entire songs, and I will have two or three plus maybe the intro song, which is usually whatever I'm quoting, plus maybe something for whoever I'm talking about for Meet the Family. That said, artists who are listening to this, if you would like me to use your music in I Love Music, instrumentals preferred, please let me know. I would be sorely grateful. You know I always give perfect credit to whatever music I am using, and that would be a big help. That will also help me if I ever get a webcam and go on YouTube, because I sure don't want to be using copyrighted music in YouTube videos if I want them to stay up for very long. The other big change is, well, it's supposed to be shorter reviews. I actually went through all my reviews the other day and started cutting some of them down. The ones that I've already got are not that short, but basically it's coming down to, if I don't have a lot to say about something, I ain't gonna try and say too much about it. I'm gonna try and keep reviews down to 3 sentences, if at all possible, when I've got nothing interesting to say. All you need to know is, what's the genre, do I like it, and what are the standout tracks? That's all the reviews are going to end up being, so hopefully with that, I can get through a lot more at a time. That said, it's time for Meet the Family, and to make up for all of that crap, I'm going to give you a double dose. We're going to start with Callie McBorder, who I mentioned a little bit in the last episode in the context of working with Vetus, but I thought he deserved a shout-out on his own. He is perhaps unsurprisingly a border collie. He's a singer-songwriter. He does a lot of acoustic guitar work. He also plays piano. He's got a very smooth and gentle voice, which he puts to good use both in heartfelt, emotional original songs, in covers, and in some sillier things that he just likes having fun. He tends to get down on himself a little bit, so if you go and you like his music, you need to tell him how awesome he is. Aside from The End, which he did with Vetus, he just released an Irish tune called Nobody Better, which is a lot of fun, and it's one of the less serious pieces that he's ever done. Other good songs that you should check out include Show Me and Pegasus. So please go check him out and let him know if you like his music. Our second family member today is Geraldus Burel, who is a Burel, which is a bunny squirrel. If there's one reason to check this guy out, it's for his cover of Heartbeats by The Knife. He's taken this song and made it amazing. He has a wonderfully warm and rich voice and a very light touch on the guitar, which he combined with some very good usage of audio effects to make a fantastic song. I mean, it's better than the original. He did it in the style of Jose Gonzalez. It's better than that. It's really amazing. And the fact is, he takes that same warmth and richness and applies it to all of the songs that he does. So pretty much everything that he's doing is worth listening to. And I just ran across his gallery recently, so I kind of wanted to put him up at the top here and give him a shout out because he really deserves it. So please go check both of these guys out. They're absolutely worth it. I'd also like to mention the group Furry Singers, which I'm a part of. They started up sometime late last year, I think, and they are what the name suggests. It's a place for furries who sing to go, and there's a list of singers and styles, and if you need to find a vocalist, go there. We are waiting to lend our talents to anyone who might need it. As old as it is, I have some music news. Apparently, AHA is breaking up. I'm sort of amazed that they were still around by this point, but still made me kind of sad. A slight update on that new Goo Goo Dolls album. I went out and bought it the day after I recorded that episode. I'm enjoying it even more, and even songs like Home, which I didn't like so much the first two times, I'm enjoying, so good deal on that one. Dragon Force released a live album, their very first one, just in time to mark the departure of their lead singer. This irritates me. I cannot see them ever being the same after this. On the other hand, the guy was a dick from what I hear, but like Tarja Turunen, it seems like all the good singers are. So, sad face. This is really old, but apparently MC Hammer is now calling himself King Hammer, and he's having a rap feud with Jay-Z. The world is silly. The chorus on his diss song isn't too bad, though. And speaking of new albums, another big release this September, hey there we go, that's how far behind I am, that I've been waiting on was Amberlynn's new record, Dark as the Way Light is a Place. There's not a whole lot to say, it's energetic, I like it, it's precisely what I want from Amberlynn. If you like them, get this, if you don't, this won't change your mind. If you haven't heard of them, check out Cities or Blueprints for the Black Market first. The best songs were Impossible, Closer, Pray Tell, and Art of War, Beware of Falling Horses, 8 out of 10. So I guess that was the first music review for today. Next, we are going to talk about Rewrite the Ending by Too Small a Limelight. This is the latest album from FA's own Colson Granger, recording under yet another name. The first rewrite on Rewrite the Ending would be the opening track, With All Due Respect, which appeared on the ever-present Melancholy album. It's been turned into a fairly upbeat guitar rock song, and it makes me think of the first time I ever heard Dashboard Confessional as more than just a guy with a guitar. It's just that sensation of, hey, this dude's got a band. It's still a good song, but I agree with the person who said that it's not as strong as the original version. I definitely prefer that one. Colson's doing a lot of vocal layering, it seems, and that really expands what he can do with his already impressive range. Now, before I go on, I want to mention that this is apparently a massive, very collaborative undertaking. Featured artists on the album include Rhubarb, Fox Amore, who helped out on Colson's first album, Casey Lalonde, aka Corbin Busker, and a guy named Rue, who I am unfortunately unfamiliar with. If anybody knows who he is, please give me a link to his gallery. There's also apparently a number of bonus tracks, including three fan-submitted songs by Jared Clark, aka Pepper Coyote, Nikki Kinsman, aka Liliness, and Svix. These are from a contest that Colson had where he laid down a guitar track and asked for people to write and sing lyrics over it. Plaque is a very good segue that I really wish was a good song. Photographs is perhaps the best track on the album. It immediately sticks in your head and the violin is awesome. It's a good inclusion. Unfortunately, I'm afraid I can't gush over this as much as I did over Center Stage Apology, and further, I find myself compelled to compare the two. While Rewrite the Ending showcases leaps in both production and songwriting from our Mr. Granger, it doesn't hold together as well as his prior release, albeit for a good reason. As an album, this tends to jump all over the place. I think what Colson is doing is a lot of experimenting, which isn't a bad thing, but to put all the results together on one album like this leaves the end product disjointed. Sadly, this is not as much an issue with the second half of the album, but by then the damage is done. This comes not just from shifts in genre and instrumentation, going from acoustic into electronic, but also from energetic tracks into slow ones. As a counterexample, Black and Blue into Inventory is a great transition that keeps the power of the first while dropping the tempo. So while there are a lot of good songs on this album, I don't think it's his best work overall. I do, however, think that Rewrite the Ending will prove to be an important step toward whatever he does next. This really feels like a case of working out the kinks. The best songs are So Bright I Could See My Silhouette, Black and Blue, Photographs, and Good Evening San Francisco, which I already have a different mix of. And for what it's worth, I really like what Svix did with that track, the only one of the three released that I hadn't heard previously. Also, the included demo of Ghost in the Birdhouse is excellent, 6.5 out of 10. Going on to a music video now, Pretty Girl Rock by Keri Hilson. This is probably the best music video I've seen in the past 2 years or so, and I just saw it, so I'm putting it up at the top. I like Keri Hilson, first discovered her through Timbaland's album on the track The Way I Are, really good singer. And while this song is just kind of okay, the video portrays what are no doubt influences, or else just strong female role models throughout the history of entertainment. She starts with a flapper-era silent film, then moves on to Ginger Rogers-esque 40s movie, doo-wop trios that look like Stewardesses, The Supremes, someone from the 70s or 80s that I can't quite identify. And then comes the great part. She does Janet Jackson's Circa Rhythm Nation, and that blew my mind. This is followed by a perfect representation of a TLC video, and then what I can only assume is how Keri does videos today, but it's the Janet that really did it for me. The sad thing is, it's only these ensemble tribute or parody videos that hold any actual interest for me anymore when it comes to music videos. The rest of the time, videos are either just people dancing, or just the band recording, or nothing in particular happening, but in an interesting style, CF Bruno Mars Just the Way You Are, or else there's some kind of narrative interspersed with shots of the artist singing. That's it. Those are not interesting in the least, and the fact is, compared with music videos over the life of the medium, Pretty Girl Rock has been done before, and done to death. Perhaps not done better, but that's a matter of opinion. I keep saying it over and over, music videos are pretty much dead as an art form, so something that is only mediocre, at least in concept, really shines out over all the dreck. Next is The Pariah, The Parrot, The Delusion by Dredge. Dredge is a prog rock group, and I actually own one of their albums, Catch Without Arms, so I'm looking forward to this somewhat. Of course, you never know what to expect from prog, so we'll see what happens. It starts off with some good guitar riffs, and a kid's chorus doing some scat, and some talk about what delusions are or can't be, and I forget what they actually said anyway. The songs are separated by short interludes that, well, just really break everything up. These songs are pretty much weird. I kind of like Gathering Pebbles. Through the middle, they go indie electro. I'm sure it's all just too deep for me to understand. I really can't be disappointed, though. As I said at the beginning, you can't expect the same thing twice out of a band like this. 6 out of 10. Next is Sword and Sorcery by Majesty. Okay, this is some laughable metal. Seriously, it's like they wrote the lyrics using their 12-year-old brother's D&D campaign for inspiration. It's very general fantasy themed, along with a requisite song about the musical genre. The music itself is okay, but man, I cannot listen to it without chuckling. 5 out of 10. Next is The Wizard Queen by Final Chapter. It's worth noting that this is Wizard Queen 2004. Apparently their other album from 2000 has the same title. The music's not all that bad, halfway decent power metal on what is more than likely a concept album, but I'm not terribly interested in this. Also, wouldn't a Wizard Queen be a witch anyway? 6 out of 10. Next is Dance Night's Uplifting Trance 02. First, insert the standard I don't talk about compilations here. Well, the fact is, I do when I actually want to purchase one, and that happens very rarely. I don't know if this is part of a series or what the 02 means, but the trance contained herein is definitely uplifting. Almost every track is worth hearing, and they all blend together quite well to make a coherent album. Of course, if you don't like trance, you won't like this, yada yada. It's worth noting that I have heard of precisely none of these artists and only three of the remixers: Cast, Menno De Jong, and New Energy. 9 out of 10. Boy, it doesn't feel like I've done a whole lot. I'm going to end on a legacy review. You want to know what another great album is? Permanent Vacation by Aerosmith. Holy shit. I used to own a bunch of Aerosmith albums. Get a Grip, Nine Lives, Just Push Play, but Permanent Vacation is the only one that survived all the purging, and there's a reason why. It's a fantastic collection of pop songwriting with a bright amount of a classic blues-focused Aerosmith sound to make it legit. For the former, check out big hit singles like Dude Looks Like a Lady and Angel, neither of which I'm a really big fan of. For the latter, St. John and Hangman Jury, which is just about my favorite song on the album. You get started off with a heaping helping of powerful rock in the form of Parts Done Time, followed by quirky guitar rhythms and Ragdoll. Honestly, every song on this record could easily have been a single, including the final track, the instrumental The Movie, yet another of my favorites. For a cool taste of everything that Aerosmith has to offer at the height of their success, check out Permanent Vacation, you will not be disappointed. So I feel like I didn't make a whole lot of progress, but that's going to be it for today, because I don't want these running over anymore. I don't have a good way to end it, so I'm just going to say goodnight. Crap, I don't even know what episode this is now. I'm going to switch things around a little bit, I think. Maybe. Yes. No. No, I'm not going to switch things around. These are from a Coulson contest. I find myself compelled to compel... Oh, fuck me.